Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Our job when fans can't get to the ballpark is to show them everything the ballpark has to offer. That's really our job. That's literally our job, is to convey the game to people who can't come to the game or don't want to come to the game or whatever it is, or casual. And when we're not at the ballpark, we get everything that everybody is seeing who's not at the ballpark. And that's it. So we can't ever be ahead. We can't ever have a feeling that we're seeing something that the audience isn't seeing. So all it does is drag us all back into average instead of allow us to stand out when we're really good at the job. So that's hard. That's hard on the audience, and they may or may not realize it at points. Like I mentioned in the Greenberg piece, the Billy Hamilton play from in Cleveland, I thought at the back end of the play, you know, my energy was good and I sold it well, but I didn't know he was coming home.
Mully at Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the Score. That was Jason Benetti on with Lawrence Holmes describing the difficulty of calling play-by-play remotely. And we are delighted to welcome in Phil Rosenthal, Tribune Sports, and a man that we've both worked with and respect and hold dear to our hearts. And always a joy to talk to Phil on the Score's hotline. Good morning, Phil. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you guys?
You know, I didn't even pick up, to be honest with you. I got so used to cardboard people that cardboard announcers didn't bother me either. I just got used to watching sports through all this. And then yesterday I'm watching the game and Stoney's talking about a conversation he had with Tony La Russa, because now things are open and you're allowed to go down and he's talking to people. And I thought, my God, what was it like for him going through that? Now he's forgotten more baseball and he's an unbelievable broadcaster, but that hurts, not being able to talk to the people you're covering and get your questions answered.
Oh, there've been all kinds of limitations because of this. And, you know, in some ways it's been heroic that they've been able to manage it. I mean, you played the Jason Benetti clip. No one's been done a better job, maybe anywhere, broadcasting remotely than Jason Benetti. And I don't just mean for NBC Sports Chicago. I mean, it's stuff for ESPN and so on. But yeah, there's a lot that gets lost when you have these limitations. And, you know, everything else is opening up. It seems like this is one of them. And you know, getting Steve Stone down on the field so he can have a, you know, face-to-face conversation with Tony La Russa, you know, that's a big one right there.
Okay, Phil, but let me ask you this. Is this something that media guys like ourselves talk about? Or is this something that, you know, when Jason says, is it hard on the audience, how hard it is on the audience, is it hard on the audience? Do we think that they're missing out? Do they know what they're missing? Because at some point it becomes a math problem. Are entities, are broadcast stations going to want to travel and spend the money to send the broadcasters to get that benefit of being there, which we all understand? But is it worthwhile if the fan doesn't realize what he's missing?
I think it is. And I'll tell you what, you know, I think it flattens out the broadcast, whether it's TV or radio. He talks about it being average. You know, part of what makes a broadcast interesting is that extra push, you know, that extra oomph that you get when the announcer can actually anticipate what's going to happen. I'm sure there are people out there, and I've heard from some of them saying, well, who cares, you know? I think there is an unconscious, subconscious part of this that you may not know what you're not getting, but it's you know, that much less exciting, that much less engrossing, that much less interesting. And ultimately, you know, the longer you keep this up, you know, people just aren't as interested in it. And they, you know, they won't even know why they're walking away, but they will. And I just think that, you know, your obligation in these cases, you know, there's all this talk about, well, see the cool graphic we have now that shows the pitches, or, you know, the guys at Marquee, wow, we got Megalodon, you know, we got this camera that's semi-focused. That's really exciting. You know, stick to the main product. The product is the broadcast.
That is so true. That drives me crazy when they're showing the weird camera thing. So help us out here, Phil. We're talking about baseball. Like, I know I'm an outlier. I'm doing a morning show, but I'm watching the Sox game last night, and it just goes on and on and on. And I'm thinking to myself, it was a great game and really exciting, and you couldn't turn it off. But I'm thinking to myself, what happens when the umpire starts going out 8 times a game to check the pitcher? You know, how long will that take? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We're trying to shorten games, and now we're going to have 16 trips to the mound.
Yeah, but, you know, look at the bright side. They'll probably come up with a sponsor for each of those.
This search.
You know, brought to you by, you know, such and such detergent. You want to stay clean, keep it with, you know, whatever. But, you know, brought to you by the TSA. We find, you know, what you're trying to hide. I think there are some things that need to be done, and some of the things they've done, I think, are wacky. But I'm willing to experiment. I think you know, will the threat be enough to change things? And boy, will a bunch of putting the ball in play will speed games up. So maybe it's a balancing act. I don't know.
You know, Phil, I think this plea for all broadcasters to travel, I understand it and I respect it. I wonder who it's directed toward, because MLB as an entity, that's not really applicable here. Because, I mean, the White Sox are a team in compliance. They could, I think, travel the broadcasters if they chose to, if the respective operations chose to. And I even think the radio team is. The Cubs aren't at 85% compliance as a team. So I don't think that they can travel the broadcast crew, whether it's radio or the Marquee guys, until that happens. And I don't know if the broadcast issues have anything to do with the Cubs, you know, getting to an 85% compliance rate.
I think they could, first of all, where there's a will is a way. If they need to get those guys places, they'll get them there, whether it's the team charter or something else. I truly believe that. Secondly, I think the pressure comes, I think Major League Baseball and the teams are into it because are responsible, because I think they have to put the pressure on their partners to do this. And I don't just mean the local announcers. I mean the national guys. You know, ESPN has been putting Vasgersian and A-Rod on the road until July 4th. Well, good thing they're going to get out there, and whatever you think of them, being remote has not made them better. We know that.
True.
I would just say, well, I don't understand that holdup. But with regard to the 85%, I think, as I say, I get that that's a problem. I think there has to be a solution, some way to get them there. And again, maybe you send back the Megalodon, you cut the lease and take your, you know, and say, hey, we can't be renting this the rest of the season. We need to fly our people to this. You know, you get more of the memory pills and you say, well, you know, look, we need a little more money for this. Or you get, you know, wheels up to sponsor, something to get them to game to game. All I'm saying is it should be a priority, and that it isn't tells you something that I'm not sure they're trying to, if it's all about saving money, I'm sure there's some of that. But you know, I left the Sox game the other day and wound up in a red line car. And if you want to test your faith in the vaccine, that's the way to do it, man. Because, you know, you really don't have a lot of choice there. So I sort of feel like, you know, fully vaxxed announcers and get them out there.
And you know, it seems like they want to do it, but again, is there pressure on? Okay, so the Sox, for instance, if the radio broadcasters are traveling, is there pressure on NBC Sports Chicago to get the TV guys out there? Does Marquee want to send their people on the road? I just think that there is an uncertainty to the answer to that question.
Well, I don't get it, you know, because these organizations talk about how much they care about what they're doing and how important it is to do the best. I mean, remember that whole thing Marquis went through last year with the ties on the announcers? We're trying to do a first-rate operation, and you can't do one in a polo shirt. We got past that. But the idea that they want to do the best possible broadcast, that hasn't changed. And I don't see how you do it from a distance. And I don't know whether they invested in these remote systems and they need to get a certain amount of money out of it or what. But if you care, get them out to the ballpark.
Phil,
nobody does a better job from a distance. And things like the Javi Baez play where Contreras scored in Pittsburgh. You know, Book Chiambi was as surprised as any of us that Contreras was coming around to score.
Right.
And it would have been, it was a good call, could have been a great call. I mean, for the ages, had we known what was going on. As a result, he did the best he could.
If you buy into the idea that viewers benefit from the presence of their broadcasters, then I think you're going to also buy into the aspect that readers or fans will benefit from access being improved or restored to the way that it used to be in the old days pre-pandemic. I don't know if that's going to happen, Phil. I don't know if this restricted access that we have experienced in the age of Zoom because of the pandemic. Will teams, do you think, ever open up their locker rooms and clubhouses to the media in a way that they did before, or is this the new normal?
I want to say yes, things will go back, but I have my doubts. I think that teams have enjoyed the control of this. I think it will not be as restrictive as it's been in the Zoom era, as we look back on it, and I hope we look pretty far back on it, in that, you know, you only had three people two people, and you got them, and that was it, and everybody got everybody at the same time. I do think there may be, I think leagues and sports organizations are reexamining this. Look what's happening in tennis. There's a whole debate going on. I think in the end, it will not be quite the same. And I do think the reporting will suffer, but it suffers on an end that they may not realize the price that gets paid in that. I think, you know, I don't know if you listen to the new podcast from Len Casper and Jason, Sox Degrees, and they had Rick Hahn on, and Rick Hahn was talking about one of his pet peeves, and it's when an announcer goes off and start talking about what the thought process was on something but the team. Well, what fosters that kind of speculation and maybe trying to piece together something without really knowing it is not being able to talk to the principals or around the principals. And I think, you know, there is a transition that may be happening in sports writing. It's happened a little bit anyway, where it's less about reporting and more about reviewing, that they treat it everything like, and people will say, well, why do you need to talk to these athletes? You don't talk to Bruce Springsteen at the end of a concert. But the truth is you review concerts differently than you report baseball or any other sport. And if you don't have the person to talk to, then it goes back to this idea of whatever I think in my head, I'm going to write. And that is a different kind of reporting. There's more friction involved. People are going to say, well, wait a minute, that's not fair. That's not what, but it becomes more of a column and an opinion piece and an analysis than an actual game story. And as I say, I think there's a transition toward this anyway, for a lot of reasons. But that is going to, if you don't have the access to the people, that is part of the price you're going to pay. What their view is, their opinion, their voice will end up having to come out via Twitter after the fact and in response to what's out there. And I'm not sure they're going to like that much.
It's a great point. Phil, thanks a ton. Great catching up with you. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Phil.
Always a pleasure.
That is Phil Rosenthal from the Chicago Tribune. That's a really interesting point he made there at the end.
It is. Yeah. It's, and that's reality. You know, when you leave observers to their own devices, they're going to, you limit what they have access to. They're going to fill that gap and void with opinion.
And they might tell old stories that they remember of Kevin Durant saying something.
They might. Yeah.
It's Mully and Haw, The Score.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.